stolen your breath.
It's all right. They're yours. What's mine is thine.
You do?
No, I didn't do that. Oh, thanks, but I'm doing it for illustrative purposes.
It was good.
Carla, are you ready?
Yes.
Good afternoon. This is the Wednesday, June 7th afternoon session of the Portland City Council. Carla, please call the roll.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman? Udaly? Fritz?
Here.
Wheeler?
Here. I'll just skip to the chase on the usual message. People are certainly welcome to testify. Please be respectful of other people who are testifying. Please don't interrupt either during people's testimony or council deliberations. We want to make sure everybody feels heard, that people feel like it's a respectable environment for everybody. If you're a lobbyist, please state that for a record. If you're here representing an organization, that's often helpful as well. Thumbs up if you like something, thumbs down if you don't. That's usually sufficient. It helps keep things moving along. So thank you, everybody. Please read the first item. Actually, why don't you read 644 and 645 together, please?
644, accept the Central City Potential Swimming Beach Sites Study, and 645, accept the East Bank Crescent Riverfront Plan as a guide for redevelopment of the East Bank Crescent.
Colleagues, this afternoon we are going to discuss, as Carla just mentioned, the East Bank Crescent Riverfront Plan and the Central City Potential Swimming Beaches Study. These are two planning efforts that seek to, at a high level, bring people to, and for those who are into that, like me, into the river, and as well, in addition, to improve the river habitat. As somebody who occasionally enjoys jumping into the Willamette River, I am excited to see that the city, with assistance from the Human Access Project, is moving forward to offer more river swimming opportunities. That said, I know how important other forms of recreation are beyond swimming, and I know that habitat conservation and rehabilitation is critically important to the river, and I look forward to hearing about all of these things today from all of you. So the order of events today, we're going to start with some brief presentations from the city bureau directors and staff on these two interrelated efforts that we're here to discuss today. And then we have a number of invited panels of testimony who represent broad interests, property owners, swimmers, people who are interested in boating and other recreational activities on the river. Certainly we're going to hear today for some environmental interests as well. And then we will open the conversation up to anybody else who'd like to have the opportunity to speak. We'll see how many people that is, and it'll either be 2 or 3 minutes of testimony, just depending upon how many people we have interested in speaking. Then the council will have its discussion, probably ask a number of questions, and then we'll take action. So with that, I'd like to begin with Sally Edmonds, who is the planning manager for the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability, whose bureau has coordinated this planning effort with other bureaus, agencies, and the public. And then we're going to hear from Michael Jordan as well from BES and Mike Abate from the Parks. Good afternoon and welcome, and thank you all for being here.
Good afternoon, Mayor Wheeler and commissioners. We are pleased to be here today to provide you with an overview of two reports that are the result of some collaboration amongst the Bureaus of Planning and Sustainability, Parks Recreation, Environmental Services, and Prosper Portland. This group grew out of the development of the Central City 2035 plan, which you'll be hearing more about this summer and fall. Throughout that process, we heard members of the public express diverse desires to expand river recreation, both for swimming and for boating, to restore the Willamette River and its riverfront for fish and wildlife habitat, provide more places along the river to walk, bike, and enjoy the view of the river. And the trouble is that people often wanted to do all of the same things in much of the same place. So a team of city staff set out to design some concepts for how we could meet all of these objectives in the same place, and we chose to focus on the central east side, East Bank Crescent. So today we have two resolutions for you to consider. One, a concept level plan. It's not a final plan for the East Bank Crescent Riverfront, and the other, the swimming beach study, a project we launched so we could compare the beach at the Central East Side with beaches elsewhere in the Central City. Neither of these documents are intended to be the final word on these areas, but rather an input into future planning efforts. So I want to thank our partner bureaus and their staff for their leadership and commitment to this work. Planning and Sustainability, Debbie Bischoff, Mindy Brooks, Lori Grant, BES, Caitlin Lovell, Lisa Harrington, Parks, Brett Horner, Maya Agarwal, and Irene Bowers from Prosper Portland. We also had a number of consultants to help us, Mayor Reed, Flowing Solutions, Greenworks, and Interfluve. So thanks very much, and I look to Director Jordan.
Thanks, Sally.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the Commission. For the record, my name is Mike Jordan. I'm the Director of the Bureau of Environmental Services. In the face of climate change, we're beginning to understand that the forces that shape the river will become more volatile over time. To adapt to this volatility, we must restore the river's edge by adding greater flood storage, establishing native vegetation, and keeping infrastructure and private property out of harm's way. When we do this thoughtfully, we can improve habitat for fish and wildlife and enhance recreational opportunities for people. In the 1940s, Oregon State University filmed an experiment in the Willamette River. They put a handful of fish into the river in a number of places, starting at the headwaters, working their way down the valley, and ultimately getting to the city of Portland. They wanted to see how the fish did spending some time in the river. In every place that they ran the experiment, the fish survived until they got to downtown Portland. When you look at this film, we thought about showing it today, but it, quite frankly, is not something you want to see right after lunch. The downtown reach of the Willamette River in the 1940s, the film shows, was filled with sewage, trash, dead fish, and dead rats floating in the river. The experimenters put the fish into the river in multiple locations in downtown Portland, and in every location, within minutes, all the fish were dead. Now, we've come a long way since the 1940s. The city built its first wastewater treatment facility in 1952. We've expanded its capacity multiple times over the decades. And most recently, BES made a significant effort to clean up the Willamette through the Big Pipe Project. As a result, the water quality has improved dramatically, and now it is safe to swim in the Willamette River, as you've seen, Mr. Mayor. But as recently as two summers ago, we saw salmon dead along the shorelines of the Willamette River. In this case, the primary cause was summertime river temperatures, which can reach lethal levels for fish. It was an unwelcome reminder that although we've come far, we still have a long way to go. And with climate change already here, we can't afford to take another 75 years to do it. So today we come before you with our partner bureaus and the community to take the next big step in improving the Willamette. We know that keeping raw sewage out of the Willamette isn't enough to recover the river. The Big Pipe was just the first of many steps that it will take to restore habitat for fish and for people. The next steps are going to require also multiple bureaus, not just BES, and a strong leadership from the city. That's why today the East Bank Crescent Restoration Plan represents all the elements necessary to make the river a great place, not just a safe place, for people and fish and businesses. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Michael.
Mr. Mayor, Mike Abate, Portland Parks and Recreation. We are absolutely thrilled to support both the East Bank Crescent plan and also the Central City potential swimming beach study. And we're really excited to see the attention and the focus on looking at recreation opportunities in tandem with restoration opportunities. We know that active recreation keeps our citizens healthy, socially connected, and engaged in their communities, and increased water access will do that in the form of swimming and boating, reconnecting people to the river, as you said, Mr. Mayor, in a way that's fun and educational and highlights the great progress that we've made in cleaning up the river, as Director Jordan just stated. We're also, our primary concern is public safety. And so we recognize that both in the central city, but in other places around town, we as Portland Parks and Recreation have a responsibility to help educate people and ensure that they are our residents are water safe. We know that many Portlanders do not swim, so Portland Parks and Recreation is looking for opportunities to expand and promote swimming lessons in our pools. We're very interested in providing increased river access opportunities for all ages, all cultures, and all swim proficiency levels, with a particular focus on youth. That's all of our programs really look at youth. And we think that the swim study took a really a clear and unbiased look at both safety and the site characteristics at five key locations along the river. And so in terms of safety, we know that you will continue to keep that as a key priority as we move ahead. As we think about the way that this clean river could transform our city, Mr. Mayor, you've mentioned that thinking about the river as a park, as a space that can bring people together. And I think around the issues of restoration and habitat value that Director Jordan referred to, it is our natural gathering place. And as a city, we have the opportunity to show the world a way of accomplishing both restoration and recreation simultaneously. However, these plans, though you're accepting them now, are going to take some resources, because to build, maintain, and manage a river swimming program as a new initiative for the city, that's going to take new resources. Things like changing rooms and toilets and clean beaches, separation from watercraft, all of those things that will help provide safety are down the line. And there's multiple state, federal, and municipal agencies that we'll need to coordinate with as they own or manage different points. So it's a complicated puzzle, but we're excited about taking this step forward. And as a matter of fact, we're working closely with BPS and many other partners to access, to look to make sure that access to the Willamette and Columbia River are increased in many different ways, and to make sure that our river investments are identified and prioritized. We're really pleased that this summer we get to be the implementer, Mr. Mayor, of your pilot initiative at Poets Beach. We'll be installing a float line to delineate a swimming area, keeping it free from boat traffic, installing trash receptacles, portable toilets, and other facilities that we'll need. And as you know, we'll also have lifeguards this summer in the afternoon. The beaches study highlighted that Hawthorne Bowl in Tomacall Waterfront Park had the highest overall cumulative score in the ranking process, and Portland Parks and Recreation strongly supports more work at the Hawthorne Bowl as we move ahead into the future. And we believe that that's a great place to accomplish several objectives simultaneously. And the Central City Plan captures that, the ability for it to serve as a major swimming access point, expand its effectiveness as a civic venue, and maximize its function as a citywide recreation and leisure space. So thank you for this opportunity. We're very enthusiastic supporters of these two plans.
Thank you, and I appreciate your hard work on all of this. Commissioner Fritz?
I'd just like to put out a question. I know you've got lots of staff here, so this is just generally. You mentioned that the water temperature was lethal for fish. What is that temperature that is too hot for fish? And I know there's people here. And then the second question is, how warm do we keep the Portland Parks and Recreation swimming pools? So that both of those things are... I think pertinent to this discussion that they see coming right up. We'll find out, but you know, there's more to safety. As we know, every year people get into trouble in waters because they don't factor in the coldness of the water. So that's something that I would want to have part of the discussion today. Thank you.
So, Commissioner, to your first question, 22 degrees Celsius.
And that in real money is in about 75.
I don't know the conversion.
I think it's about, 20 is 70, so that's how I remember it. Thank you.
And swimming pool is about 80 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yes. Yeah,
so I don't know what that is in Celsius.
Too warm.
It's too warm. It's too warm for fish, but potentially too cold for people to swim in. So.
Good. Thank you. And my understanding is we have Debbie Bischoff here from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to tee up our next panel. Thank you. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
So far, so good.
Excellent.
Good afternoon, Mayor and Commissioners. Debbie Bischoff, Senior Planner with the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. With me here is Brett Horner and Caitlin Lovell. Brett is from Parks and Recreation, and Caitlin's from the Bureau of Environmental Services. So the reports before you today are a result of collaboration, research, discussions, and public input. The information and recommendations offered can be a guide for future planning, public investments, and public-private partnerships. The Willamette River, including the riverfront, is a significant feature in the Central City Plan with multiple purposes and functions. We received a lot of public comments on how to improve the riverfront for people, fish, and wildlife. The documents before you today address numerous city mandates, planning goals, policies, and actions for activating the riverfront, connecting people to the river, protecting federally listed endangered fish, and restoring fish and wildlife habitat in and along this urban stretch of our river. As Sally mentioned, shallow water areas are particularly desirable places for recreation and swimming, including swimming and boating. Shallow water areas, which are limited in number in the urbanized central city, are key resting and rearing locations for juvenile salmon. So now I'm going to move on to a very quick overview of the Central City Potential Swimming Beach Sites Study.
Who's that cat on the cover?
Yeah, who is that cat?
Somebody needs to suck his gut in more, apparently.
Good diving form, Mayor. So the intent of this study is to learn from other places and from Portlanders about what makes for safe, family-friendly swimming beaches. The study looked at 5 sites, then developed and evaluated these sites based on safety and site criteria that came out of research and public input. The sites are McCormick Pier, Hawthorne Bowl, Poetry at the Beach, and the Zidell property on the west side and East Bank Crescent on the east side of the river. Outreach included surveying. We surveyed families and individuals at Dishman and East Portland Community Centers, at 2 Portland Community College campuses, and at OMSI, along with an online survey hosted by Parks and Rec. The public reviewed the study results at an open house that coincided with East Bank Crescent planning. Oh, there we go. So the public safety criteria that were developed and evaluated are site visibility, gradual bank slopes for wading, access, distance from outfalls, site remediation, limited user conflicts, and river characteristics such as turbidity. The site that scored best for a criterion received 5 points, the next best 4 points, and down to 1 point for the most problematic site. Site rankings are based on data and observations. Overall, Poetry at the Beach, or also known as Poets Beach, scored the highest on safety characteristics, followed by the Hawthorne Bowl. Site criteria developed and evaluated are limited ambient sound, beach surface materials, available parking and transportation, available upland area, length of shoreline, gentle beach slope, and sun exposure. The Hawthorne Bowl site ranked the highest overall for site characteristics, followed by the Zidell property and Poetry at the Beach. When combining both safety and site characteristics, the Hawthorne Bowl and Waterfront Park scored the highest, closely followed by Poetry at the Beach. McCormick Pier, which had public access issues, was rated the least attractive potential beach site. The beach site at East Bank Crescent ranked lower than the 3 west side beach areas. Conclusions from this study are that safety and site considerations are key for selecting and investing in a public swimming beach, that site improvements and programming can help mitigate site-specific issues, and as Director Abate said, funding is needed for implementation. And I won't go into detail since Director Abate mentioned the summer swimming program at Poets Beach, but just in addition to lifeguards, there'll also be a life jacket booth, a swimming area boundary, and safety signage. So now on to the East Bank Crescent Riverfront Plan. The East Bank Crescent area was selected as the first central riverfront planning study because of a number of independent activities that are underway for recreation, site planning, and environmental improvements. As you know, Bureau of Environmental Services, Parks, Prosper Portland, and Bureau of Planning and Sustainability staff coordinated the project work with a consultant team. Other city bureaus, interested property owners, organizations, and the general public participated in meetings and at a public open house. The intent of the plan is to provide a realistic, feasible blueprint for redevelopment of the site. And the goals of the project you can see listed on the slide. Again, the importance of providing safe public recreation, improving habitat both in the water and on the land, incorporating environmental education, integrating multiple uses while minimizing the conflicts, and creating a practical design that can be built, operated, and maintained. So this is a very complex site. And first, let me describe where it is. It's approximately 1,100 square feet of shoreline between the Hawthorne and Markham bridges in the central east side. Historically, it's an industrial area where PGE transmitted electricity until 1975. OMSI, the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, is now the primary property owner, along with the state of Oregon and the city. Current activities in the area include a PGE in-water pollution capping project between the Holman Dock and Hawthorne Bridge, future site master planning by OMSI, advocacy for river swimming improvements by the Human Access Project, partial renovation of the Holman Dock by Prosper Portland, and the Portland Boathouse, whose boating groups use the Holman Dock and lease space in Central East Side, is actively looking at a new boating facility nearby and improvements to the dock. Numerous challenges exist for this site. You have Interstate 5, you have underground utilities, and you have a steep riverbank with unknown levels of contamination. The project team compiled existing conditions and consulted with property owners and stakeholders about site opportunities and constraints. Different concepts merged for how to make public access and habitat improvements while addressing existing and potential conflicts. Two alternative concepts were created that were reviewed and commented on by bureaus, property owners, and the public. Design concept one, which you see in front of you, maximizes habitat improvements. The key element is laying back the riverbank to provide shallow water habitat. This concept does include some public access improvements. Design concept two prioritizes public access for the Greenway Trail, Holman Dock, and the swimming beach area. A new grade-separated dock minimizes conflicts with the trail. A delineated summer swimming beach area includes improved access to the beach, a temporary floating dock, and platforms to make the swimming beach most appealing to sunbathers and swimmers. Some habitat improvements are included in this concept, but the river layback is minimized. The recommendation of the East Bank Crescent Riverfront Plan is to start with Concept 1, but incorporate the public access elements of Concept 2 where practical and feasible. And it's really important to note here that ongoing coordination with OMSI and their future plans is critical and will shape the refined design of the East Bank Crescent, as will additional site work and analysis. Staff requests that City Council accept these documents as stated in the slide with one amendment to the East Bank Crescent Riverfront Plan action. It's in bold. And again, Brett Horner and Caitlin Lovell and I are here to answer any questions you have. We have a couple of our team consultants in the audience also. So thank you.
Very good. And before we move on, I have a question of legal counsel. Is that substantive enough to require a formal amendment to item 645?
I have it in here.
Commissioner Fish.
So, Caitlin, are you testifying separately or just here as a resource?
Just here as a resource, sir.
So, so on behalf of the Bureau of Environmental Services, which has the lead responsibility for cleaning up the river and is primarily focused on the habitat side, because we're not in the recreation business. Do the two options that Debbie and Debbie, it's nice to have you back presenting.
Thank you,
Mayor. Debbie Bischoff has been always in the midst of the best community planning exercises that I think we've done as a city over my 9 years on the council, so I just have to say that.
And thank you very much.
And she has helped bring the community together around some of the thorniest issues, so she's a council favorite.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
But, Caitlin, on the two options, habitat and the public access, are in your judgment, are both compatible with the regulatory concerns that primarily drive BES's approach to this issue?
Yes. So we were very intentional about making sure that the overall site goes from its current condition to an improved state from a habitat perspective. And that way, the regulatory issues essentially go away. There will be permitting that will be required, but because there's a net, what we call a net lift in habitat function, it will be something that will be favorable. Am I understanding your question?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, so that's the reassurance I need, that you've scrubbed both and they don't raise any red flags on the regulatory side. There are signs just to the north warning people not to swim in the water if there is a CSO event. Is there anything particular to this location that potentially puts people at greater risk than any other location in the event of a CSO event?
Not in the event of a CSO. I think it, depending on where the CSO is, whether it's downstream or upstream, we would put out the same notification. There was a stormwater pipe that bisected the property. And in fact, we deliberately delayed both PGE's cleanup and the development of this plan in order to allow BES to decommission that pipe. So our stormwater pipe is no longer flowing through this site, which helps to make it a little bit safer.
Makes the site a little more attractive.
Yes.
Thank you. And Brett, I have a question for you. Assuming we adopt this today, we're then directing that parks look over time at where this fits into its overall planning and then come up with some budgets and come back to council periodically. Have you done back-of-the-envelope estimates about what the potential costs are of different options here? I know there's some numbers in the earlier report, but has Parks estimated what kind of resources they would need to set aside over time to fulfill this vision?
We have not done detailed estimating. We would have to do more work in that regard. We would like some direction from council today about the sites that are identified in the plan to see where priorities are and which sites are the most appropriate to proceed with. As you'll see in the study, the beach study, there are a number of issues that we have some concerns about for the East Bank Esplanade site. We don't think it's a deal killer, but we need a lot more work done on resolving some of those issues.
And then finally, with respect to the resources that may be available to drive this vision, is there any reason that systems development charge funds cannot be used to advance any portion of this vision?
Well, we have looked into this. As you might imagine, a lot of beach improvements are not really capitalizable. They're bringing in sand and other amenities that aren't really necessarily a capital project. So we would have to look very closely at what is eligible to be used in that regard against all of our other priorities as well. For areas that don't have parks, we've been working very, very diligently in East Portland on areas that don't have park service.
So without going into any great detail, what are the potential eligible sources of funding for this vision?
Well, the East Bank, again, if it prioritizes prioritizes habitat enhancement, we would be looking for funds that are directly related to that. And one idea is to actually use it as a mitigation area so that other developers along the river can pay into improvements that may happen at the site. But in terms of the recreation improvements, there are not a lot of sources that that we could pursue. There are funds around boating from the Oregon State Marine Board, but there are not a lot of swimming specific funding sources.
Okay, thank you.
Very good. Legal counsel.
So whether or not you need to take an action to add that language depends on whether you really want it in the resolution or you simply want it to be direction to staff. So if you want it in the resolution, it's significant enough that you would just make an amendment, or these are your staff, you can say come back in the fall and bring us a funding proposal.
So colleagues, do you have any preference?
Your call.
We'll see you in the fall. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
And so we have invited testimony at this point from key stakeholder groups, unless there's any questions right at the moment. We'll just keep moving along. First of all, we have some representatives of property owners. And it's my understanding we have Allen Park, ZRZ, and potentially OMSI. I know they've provided written testimony, but they may have representatives here as well. And feel free to yell if you're upstairs.
Allen's coming from upstairs.
Very good. And then next up, just so people are aware, we'll hear from some of our esteemed swimmers. We've all wanted to know, who are the swimmers? And so we're going to hear from them next. We'll have Willie Levinson and Lauren Schmidt. And I believe we're also going to have a consultant from MIG here. So you're on deck. Very good. Come on up. Thank you. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks.
Excellent. You took the stairs, obviously.
I did. Down even and looking.
Yeah, it's good.
I need to swim more.
It's good, yeah.
Mr. Mayor, councilors, we're here today in support of...
And I'm sorry you have to state your name.
Oh, Allen Park with Zidell Companies. We're here today in support of the study that was done and access to the river. The Zidell family and is a large owner of the property in the South Waterfront. We have completed a master plan process that includes water access for the public. We just got out of a meeting with the Corps of Engineers. We're actively pursuing a permit for a dock in the river that would allow public access that, much like you would see at the Portland Breakwater. We are looking, in, as part of our master plan, to activate what is the barge slipway into an area that would be privately developed but publicly accessible, open space that would allow for people to engage with the river, whether it's swim, picnic, program that space for potential shows, that kind of thing. We're very excited about the potential for doing that. We hope to have all of that work underway in... under construction in July of 2020. So by the summer of 2021, that vision would be completed, and we would all be moving forward. As we read and participated in the study that's before you today, we scored pretty well as a swim site in that. Not that we're terribly competitive, but as we looked at our master plan and the elements that we considered in that process and what we have for vision in that area, I think we would have scored a lot higher. We understand the nature of the environmental remediation that we completed and what needs to be done there to make that better. Of course, public access is going to do nothing but improve. We have worked in partnership with the Parks Department on all of these plans because everything we do in that area is part of the Greenway. We've just completed about an eight-month process of public involvement, working with Brett Horner and other staff, Alan Schmidt and Elizabeth Wong Kennedy. Kennedy Wong have just done a great job that has given us vision for the Greenway. Stakeholders from all communities in the city, we've presented that to the Design Commission. We are moving forward with that wholeheartedly. So we're here today in support of the study and in support of connection to the river.
So could I ask you a question? You showed us some extremely impressive schematics of what conceptually you're planning for the waterfront, and it shows a historic treatment of your current, what's the term? It's not a spillway.
The slipway. We call it the slipway.
Thank you. Slipway, potentially preserving the crane to reflect on the history and the traditions of that part of our community, which I think is very important. So I strongly support that vision. And then actually having potentially a swimming dock or a pier with a swimming dock at the end, which I thought for people who are familiar with some of the ones that are in Europe, I thought it was a really good opportunity for this city. And I don't know if you've had a chance yet to put that out to the public, whether the public seen. It's very reminiscent of Copenhagen in the bath there. It's an impressive vision.
Well, we have put it out to the public. We've seen those images in the paper as we went through the presentation of our master plan to Design Review Commission in February of last year, and again just last week. We presented those images to the Public Advisory Committee that we were a part of that went through the Greenway process to update the 2004 Greenway Development Plan. We put those out to the agencies as well. We've been through the streamlining committee arm in arm with Parks, trying to get the DSL, the Corps, and the other agencies, NIMS, that are involved in that, with the help of the city.
And what was the reaction?
Well, the reaction is varied, but overall positive. Technically, the vision that we show likely won't come to fruition. Showing a pier coming out of the slipway may not be the best and highest use of that little piece of real estate, and it offers some technical challenges in terms of maintenance and operation. So we're studying now shifting that dock a little bit to the north, maybe accessing it off of the Greenway, just down past where the existing barge building is now, running that dock in parallel with the beach in deeper water, therefore making that work better for habitat, allowing us to get pretty creative in the slipway in terms of what that access can look like, other features, programming that space. Again, working with our partners at Parks pretty well with that. So a bridge potentially going over that area to increase the multimodal transportation of the Greenway. There's just a lot of the interaction of that with the potential building site behind it. You know, there's just a lot of moving pieces in that area. They're going to be a very unique place in our city.
Well, I want to compliment you, and I want to compliment, obviously, those who you're working with, the Zidels, because it is complex. Anytime you're talking about any structure in a waterway, particularly in the center of Portland, Oregon, you're talking about complexities of complexities. And I think it's uniquely Portland to try and combine both that desire to bring people into the river and closer to the river with our very real commitment to the environment and our commitment to urban habitat. So thank you for that.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Mayor.
Thank you.
Ellen, when is the last barge being launched?
The 16th, Friday.
And that will be it. That will be the end of the line.
And that'll be it. We'll have that barge launched. That'll go down the river, and then we're all of a sudden developers. So we are in the real estate business.
Very good. Thank you. We appreciate it. I don't know if there's anybody here from OMSI who wanted to testify. I think they just submitted written testimony. Very good. Okay, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for being here today. So Willie Levinson and Lauren Schmidt, you're up next.
Amanda, nice to see you.
Good to see you again.
How are you doing?
Fred. Nice to see you, Mayor. Excellent. Thanks. Giving us the whole spectrum of clothing choices for today. Thank you.
Yep. I got my toes done in two different
just
colors.
Just goes to show, guys aren't restricted anymore. We've got options now.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great way to express yourself. I encourage it.
Thanks. Names for the record, gentlemen.
Willie Levinson, ringleader of Human Access Project, and also for the record, people sometimes say I refer to myself as that. That is actually my legal title for Human Access Project. I am technically the ringleader, legally. So we're very serious about having fun.
Thank you.
So I have a presentation that I believe Carla is going to queue up. Hopefully.
Carla's over here.
Carla, great. Oh, great.
And for the record, I'm Ryan Mattau with MIG. I'm standing in for Lauren Schmidt, who couldn't be here today.
Appreciate it. Thanks. Thanks, Ryan.
And thanks for the opportunity to come. I'm very grateful for the working relationship with Debbie Bischoff, Sally Edmonds. They've done a great job working together through this plan. They've done an amazing job. The 2035 plan. Brett Horner has just done an amazing job bringing Poets Beach along. Caitlin, we've started working together with BES. But really, this is something that crosses all agencies. So very simply, people protect what we love. That is from Jacques Cousteau, and I would argue, just for consideration, I don't even need to argue, but just for consideration, Commissioner Fish, I do actually believe that BES is in the business of recreation because there's a nexus between recreation and stewardship. If we can get people in the water, they will naturally care more about the outcomes of how they're acting in the watershed. So that's something to consider.
Since we're being sued for how we use ratepayer dollars, we just have to be careful about how we slice
language. Absolutely.
Language is important.
Yeah, I agree. But I would still say that it's okay and within the mission to say that if people are in the water, they're going to care more about it, and it will make the work of BES easier.
If you're willing to keep that between us in this setting, I think we're fine.
Absolutely. Thank you. So I think a lot of people take for granted the relationship with the Willamette River. This is a scene that we see in downtown Portland driving over a bridge, but imagine if the Willamette River wasn't there. The therapeutic value of the Willamette River cannot be understated, and certainly the vision of Portland, Oregon, of this versus this is dramatically different. We will never apologize for the therapeutic benefits the Willamette River provides. There was a time in Portland's past that we did have an excellent relationship with the Willamette River. This is an auditorium at Oaks Park. This is a swimming club that actually took place in downtown Portland. That is the historical Morrison Bridge. In 1938, we started seeing things were changing. This activist is right from my own heart, utilizing the power of cute to bring out kids with their band instruments to say the youth of Portland demand clean rivers right here in front of City Hall. Our first advocacy movement with Human Access Project, who've been doing our work for 7 years, was working with Parks and Recreation jointly to develop these swim at your own risk signs. The smaller sign over my head was approved in 2013. After a year as a pilot, Parks and Recreation gave us the permission to purchase larger signs. Human Access Project purchased the signs of the swim at your own risk signs for the benefit of the city. This is us, Human Access Project. Our vision is simply a city in love with its river. And when I say that, I've lived in communities that have pride around the river, they love the river, and the community is river stewards and fight for it. That's what we want to see. Our mission is to transform Portland's relationship with the Willamette River, and we do that by building it, using it, and loving it. Here's scenes of downtown Portland. Swimming is clearly occurring in downtown Portland. I would just put forward that as a city, we have a moral obligation to provide safe places for our people to swim. All of these ideas I'm speaking about, none of them are creative. They're in our DNA. People are drawn to rivers. All living creatures are drawn to rivers. Morally, all we can do is recognize that people will swim rivers, direct them to the least risky places to get into the water, and engineer those spots to be as safe as possible. That is our moral obligation. Again, the firehouse talk. I'm here to tell City Council we cannot pretend swimming is not occurring in downtown Portland anymore. This is the Lower Willamette River Management Plan that DSL put together. They own the bed and banks of all water bodies in the state of Oregon. The Willamette River is owned by the citizens of Oregon. It's our largest public open space, and by Parks and Recreation estimates, only 5% has access to the river's edge. Here's a blow-up. Here's downtown Portland. DSL wants greater public access to downtown Portland, so they are not stopping us. They want us to utilize this public space. Presently, Parks and Recreation provides zero direction about where to get into the least risky places in the river. BES has been successful with the Big Pipe Project. In fact, a lot of people in our community might be surprised to know that we just had the wettest March and April in Portland's history. Any guess to how many CSOs we had? The Big Pipe worked pretty well. The answer is zero. There were zero CSOs the entire March and April of this year. Let's hear it. River lovers. It's awesome. We were, because because we have been leading the way to get people in the river, we took it upon ourselves to develop our own river safety policy. This policy is now on our website, and it was vetted by U.S. Coast Guard, U.S. Coast Guard, Multnomah County River Patrol, Portland Fire, and AMR River Rescue. That is on our site and ready to go, and Parks is welcome to use it. I know Parks is working on their own. We're working in conjunction with Brett, and he's welcome to borrow any part of this, and we see Portland Parks and Recreation as partners. We were successful in the Planning and Sustainability Commission. Mike Lindberg is on our board of directors, former city councilman, and other board members such as John Ostrander came out and Tom Vandell. We successfully petitioned that Portland Parks and Recreation needs to put basic safety swimming guidelines on their website, which we understand will happen by the opening of Poets Beach, and to do basic wayfinding to direct people to the least risky places to get in the water. Again, people will do this whether we want them to or not. We need to direct them to where we want them to go. Here's an interesting fact. Leonardo da Vinci, the man is obviously a genius and an artist, 530 years to go to the day he created a life ring, sewn out of leather, filled with air, 530 years later, we do not have any life rings in downtown Portland. This is a basic life-saving device. Human Access Project today will commit to purchasing 25 life safety rings to put in downtown Portland. Esplanade is owned by PBOT. I had a good conversation with Brendan Finn from Salzman's office this morning, and I would like to propose that there's some discretion from council to allow interagency bureaus to work with Portland Fire, U.S. Coast Guard, Marine Patrol to, before this summer, get at least 25 up, and I'd ask council to match the 25 put up by Human Access Project. The MIG study, which we'll be talking about, points out that there's basically absolutely no safety guidelines in Portland right now, either by education or infrastructure. In June 2015, in conjunction with Portland Fire, Human Access Project, like we bought swimming safety signs, we bought a ladder for the firehouse dock. Portland Fire agrees. We need to have safe ways for people to get out of the river. This is the one dock in downtown Portland that has a way for people to get out of the river. All docks in downtown Portland should have ladders on them. This is basic safety. Also talked about in the MIG study. This is some context about Audra McCall Beach and Human Access Project's contribution. After the first big float, it occurred to me that I need to swim in the Willamette more if I'm going to be an honest advocate. I thought I discovered the place. It appears that in 94 and 98, this site was planned just like it was again. Imagine $500,000 was spent for a plan that collected dust on a shelf. It will not happen as long as Human Access Project is out here. This Audra McCall Beach plan will happen if we have anything to do with it, and I'm very happy to see that it has the support of council. Before we started doing our work, this was a scene. Cluttered with concrete chunks, so I started swimming and I made a pile of concrete hoping that somebody would care. Guess what? Nobody did. I then got permission from 8 different agencies simply to remove concrete chunks. Got approval from all 8 with the stipulation that we cannot use heavy mechanized equipment, which, for all intents and purposes, is available. No. But serendipity happens constantly with Human Access Project. I connected with the Inverness inmate work crews. They volunteered to help us start removing concrete. Here are some scenes of concrete. Took us 2 days with jackhammers to get rid of that. This 150-foot-long steel cable presented itself. Fred Devine Diving and Salvage came out in between jobs pro bono, asking the right people for the right things in the right way, and the look of pride on their faces for unscrewing up nature is priceless. Columbus Boat Tour came out, a sponsor of the big float. We removed so much concrete, we had to queue up to get rid of more of it. 2015, we got permission from DEQ to remove 30 pilings. Because we want to create human habitat where people will hang out. Travel Oregon came out and helped us organize a loose collection of riprap rock to make this area beachier. In total, we removed 19 tons of concrete over 4 years. Before and after. What inspired us to start this work? It is very hard to honestly advocate that this is a beach. That is a beach. Before, after. And no access. No signage. Somehow people find this place. And you know why? You want to attract birds to your yard, you put up bird feeders, bird baths, native plantings, and birds start showing up. You want humans to show up in a place, you create a human habitat. That's what that is. Last summer, got to tell you, it feels very prideful to basically we unearth the beach and to see people use it. Then Mike Lindberg comes along. He says, you know what? The mayor has surplus money in his budget. We should put some money together for Audra McCall Beach, which incidentally, that's our nickname. Tad McCall, The son of Audrey and Tom is in full support of this, and he's an advisor to Human Access Project. So Mike Fay, in the crowd, board member of Human Access Project, principal of Greenworks, put this together pro bono, made a presentation to the mayor, and boom, $300,000 for public access. Good part of the reason we're here today, and I'd like to acknowledge Charlie Hales for his leadership in funding this. Here's the plan that has been presented, which we think is great. Wouldn't it be great to have this in downtown Portland? Costs millions of dollars, impossible. We already have it. It's the Kevin Duckworth River Recreation Dock, completely underutilized, currently tied up by an Oregon State Marine Board encumbrance. 3 years were just added to it. We would like to see that activated as soon as possible because there's clearly a latent demand for dock space. And our poor boaters who are this floating wood dock right now, there's way too much conflict. We need more dock space so we can accommodate boaters.
Can I just ask you a question? Can we go back one?
Yes.
When you say there's an encumbrance, is that because the State Marine Board put money into it?
That is correct. Richard Gray from Peabot is in the crowd, too. If you have any specific questions, he manages
that. So we're either bound by the terms of whatever we entered into with the money, or we can, I know this from another project, we can back out of it if we reimburse the money, right?
There's another option.
What's that?
And it's hard. We're running out of time. Can I?
Mayor will give you extra time.
Okay. So this is what I would propose for consideration for City Council, is that there's 3 years left on the encumbrance. This is a negotiation. There's no one way this can happen. My approach would be to go to the Marine Board. In 3 years, they will get nothing. And I have to say, I empathize with the Marine Board's frustration. Human Access Project does not work in a silo. Our principal constituency is swimmers, but we want to see people connected to the Willamette. We want to see people boating. I have no problem with motorboaters. And I have to say, there is a complete inadequate lack of facilities for motorized boaters in downtown Portland. This is not a good placement for a motorized boating dock. It's an excellent place for a non-motorized boating dock. So to get to your question, I view this like an expiring contract to a professional athlete. Okay, you have 3 years left on a contract. In 3 years, they might go to another team and exercise the best option. So here's your deal, Marine Board. You have 3 years to make a deal. 3 years from now, you get nothing. You make a deal with us sooner. We'll try to work with Parks and Recreations on things you want for facilities, which I again empathize with. And maybe there's somewhere in between. Because right now, it's not serving the public to have nobody use that dock. And that's what's been happening for the last 20 years. It's there's an opportunity for negotiation, I believe.
Thank you.
So, going back here, this. It will virtually cost nothing to convert this to a non-motorized boating dock. I took the walk myself from Rose Garden Transit Center the other week, 5 minutes from Rose Garden Transit Center to this spot. The MIG study, which I hope you guys have a chance to look at, talks about the increased density on the east side and how this can serve the northeast part of town. Now, let me say also that when you consider how we're going to relate to the river, it's really important to view it maybe in the context of parks. So, for example, in Portland parks, there's baseball fields and football fields, and there's places where you just sit and chill. In the same way with rivers, parks have splash pads that are designed for children. Then there's baseball fields where you wouldn't want a two-year-old crawling out in the middle of a soccer field or a baseball field. This dock is in a deep space. It is designed for adults. Beaches are more suitable for kids. There's not going to be one beach that does everything for everybody. We need to have options just like parks. That's an adult swimming area. River Hugger Swim Team, this is another thing that we do. And, of course, Ted, Mayor Wheeler, we're very grateful for you taking your platform, running for office, to bring attention to our work and for joining us. And I hate to outstage you with my dive, but that's also, you know. Yeah.
You did. You're totally showing me up there.
Sorry.
Totally
I didn't know your other thought was going to be there. Yeah, I was trying to protect you. So at the end of the day, I am a volunteer. I do all of this for free, and I'm happy to do it. And at the end of the day, when I do have my hard days, and ultimately as activists, for any activist out there, we're gluttons for disappointment, but we're also eternal optimists. And when I kind of take a look back, the reason I do this is because the river, the city I want to live in is a city that loves its river and has access to its river. And at the end of the day, the Willamette River creates joy. That's why I'm doing this.
Excellent. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you again. My name is Ryan Matau. I'm with MIG. We're a multidisciplinary planning design firm that specializes in parks and recreation. We have 14 offices across the country. And one of the practices that we really are engaged in throughout is recreation planning. And so we're proud to partner with the Human Access Project to help round out the overall information about the infrastructure that already exists in this community. And I want to just run through really quickly the dock swimming potential in the Portland Central City report, which I believe you all have a copy of. For all of those in the audience, this is available through the Human Access Project. We're going to leave it open for comment for the rest of the month. Make sure that we get the best information. We've only got about, you know, so much more time we can throw at this, but we are definitely looking to refine this as much as possible. Thinking about those docks that already exist in the central reach here on the river, and thinking about the ways that they could be used, as Willie said, for the variety of swimming expertise and opportunity here. I think the really important thing is that we are seeing increasing use. This isn't just about increasing use of our docks. It's increasing swimming across the state, across the region, across the country, and really an interest in this very gender-balanced activity. It's a very high physical level of activity that ties into a lot of health and, of course, safety considerations. Looking in this report at the policy concerns, the city really has not kept up with this increase in use and the recognition by the public that this river is ready for human use. I think that the lack of city options has really drawn a pent-up demand, and we see out at Broughton Beach that little improvements have made a huge splash. As we go forward, we really want to see how we can tap into that potential, and there is potential here. We have warmer, slower-moving water than they have at Broughton Beach, than we have in a lot of other parts of this river. We have a lot of accessible opportunities. Again, looking at the east side, looking at increased density, places that people can walk to, that they can bike to along existing infrastructure. These existing docks also don't impact the existing habitat because of the already established piers and docks. We're talking about walking right over that shallow water habitat. We really want to see a culture forming here where we can share these existing assets and expand, and from there expand on them, that we don't need to spend millions of dollars in order to create some opportunities across this city. And really the key recommendations, the key conclusions of this report is, again, reinforcing the safety policy. The water safety policy is one of the critical and easiest and lowest cost opportunities to make happen here. We also need to continue to make use of those existing infrastructure opportunities, get those best practices of safety in place. The best practices really include and are laid out in this report: a ladder, a life ring, a life jacket station. All of these things are being tried out. Let's keep expanding those attempts and see what we can make work. Looking at all the public docks downtown, but also all of that stretch of the river. The life rings that Human Access Project is talking about aren't just for docks. The East Bank Esplanade, as well as the waterfront seawall, are both places where the opportunity exists to save a life. In the moments when fire and rescue can't get to somebody in the water, if there's a life ring there, there is an opportunity to save lives. And really, we need to direct people to the safest possible places for people to swim. We're recognizing this isn't necessarily the be-all and end-all solution, but we're really trying to round out the overall package of what opportunities exist here in Portland and making use of these great assets across the community. I want to make sure that all of you get a chance to look at the information in this report, because it does include case studies from other communities that we're aware of and have worked in, thinking about places that are providing swimming with and without lifeguarding, thinking about places that are changing their policies to make swimming more viable, such as Seattle, and really thinking about reconnecting people to rivers that have been even more damaged than ours. And I think that the Pittsburgh experience definitely shows that people will immediately reconnect with those rivers with the right programming, with the right access opportunities. And with that, I'm going to acknowledge that we've run over our time a little bit, but I really would be happy to answer any questions about this study or looking at other opportunities.
Thanks, Ryan. Colleagues? Commissioner Fritz?
Thank you. I'm just wondering, how did you incorporate the input of both motorized and non-motorized boats?
The
people in the boat.
This was really this is a study that we did commission to specifically look at swimming use. But what I would say is that we're looking at non-motorized, so this is more geared towards, I'd say, kayakers, stand-up paddle boards who'd be able to use some of these places as rest areas. We did not do outreach to the motorized boating community as part of this. And, there was really no input, actually, in this draft part from paddlers. There's lots of paddlers in this room, and this study we're going to put on our website. So we'd welcome feedback. Now, keep in mind, too, MIG did this largely out of community service. We paid them, Human Access Project paid $5,000 for the study. This is a $50,000 study that they basically did to improve and move along this conversation. So, you know, to some degree, we'll be able to make modifications, but my view of why we did this is that I wanted this to be a complement to the beach study that was done by Parks, to be a tool to allow Parks to have the information to help move forward on some of these ideas. And the one other thing I want to make sure to mention